Warning, the following episode of Warcity's Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of AJ Warcity and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out here? It's just your boy, your main man, your asshole brother from another mother. This is your host, Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini, and what a way to kick off 2020 then with the song of the legend. The bass god himself, Jushin Thunder Liger. Yes, we are here to talk about many things that on this episode. I have been queefing on to all of you, episode 122, and we are here to pay homage to the man. Tonight, as a matter of fact, I missed it last night. Night one of Wrestle Kingdom 14 took place just last night. Night two takes place tonight. I am going to give you guys a full fucking breakdown. That's right. Full fucking breakdown. Wrestle Kingdom. Just not tonight. Because I'm airing this 9 o'clock on Saturday, which is just in about an hour or so from when I'm recording this. So I won't know the results tonight too. And I want to talk about Wrestle Kingdom as a whole. So I'm going to be a week behind everybody else. But that's fine. You guys don't listen to me because I'm a timely reporter. You listen to me because I have insight and I'm creative and I'm entertaining. So give me 1 week. Let tonight happen. I'll write my notes down. We'll come back next week and give you a full review of Wrestle Kingdom 14. If this is your first time listening, I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going move for move. We're going to talk about what matches took place, some cool shit, some bad shit. We'll get into it. We'll have a fucking conversation. Hell, I may even have a buddy come over and discuss it and break it down with me. So that should be absolutely fun to do. But since we're waiting till next week to do Wrestle Kingdom 14, I could not let a week go by before we talk about what is the real takeaway story, at least for me. The beautiful part about New Japan is that they've got such a great talent roster. So many things going on. Kenta, I believe he's going against, let me see, I had it here in front of me a second ago. Kenta's going to be in action, Shingo's going to be in action, Osprey is in action, of course, your double main event, between Okada and Ibushi, and then the Intercontinental Championship match between Jay White and Naito. Those two winners compete tonight. Yes, I know who those winners are. I won't spoil it for those who haven't seen it yet. So, but the winners of those two matches will then compete tonight to become double champion. Somebody's walking out with two of the most prestigious championships in pro wrestling today and quite possibly in pro wrestling history. So that's going to be a fun night for hardcore New Japan fans. I will not be up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching this shit. I leave that to the new generation. Those days of me staying up that late to watch wrestling are long fucking gone. 20, 25 years ago, hell yeah, I used to stay up just to watch. I used to stay up till 2 a.m. just to watch ECW's syndication on Madison Square Garden. So I have spent my time with the late night shows. This is not going to be one of those situations. I've said it a few times here. I love Wrestle Kingdom to death. The show is too long. I'm glad it's broken up into 2 days now, so now I can dissect and cut things open and see what's really going on here. Plus, you get a lot of guys doing double duty. Like, for instance, our main guy that we're going to be talking about here tonight. We're going to get right into this. I'm not saving him for last, although he will be the main event of this program. We're also going to open up with Jushin Thunder Liger. Tonight marks the very end, the very, very end of Jushin Liger's career. He is retiring as of tonight. This will be his final wrestling match. I can't even begin to estimate the amount of nerves going through his body right now, because this guy has pretty much been going. I have a whole list of shit in front of me about this guy. He began his training in 1984, didn't begin his pro career until 1986. That's 1986. It's 2019. That is 33 straight years of high impact, high quality professional wrestling entertainment that he has given everybody, not just within his home country, but around the world. Again, I got a list of shit in front of me. This guy has been literally all around the world, the States, Canada, Mexico, obviously Japan and the UK. This guy's traveled the world, highly regarded as one of the most innovative cruiserweights or light heavyweights of all time, to the point where he's transitioned into heavyweight divisions multiple times. He has competed and won championships around the world. Jushin Thunder Liger is one of the most respected individuals to ever put on a pair of wrestling boots. I have his shoot name in front of me, and for respect's sake, I will not repeat it because I'm going to butcher it. I'm not good at Japanese names. I've said this before. So rather than disrespect the man, I will just go ahead and Mr. Yamada. Yeah, see? There you go. Mr. Yamada. There you go. I think it's Keiichi Yamada. There you go. But for those of you who do not know, this gimmick actually began from a children's television show, or at least the name came from a children's television show, aptly named Jushin Liger. It was a story of a bunch of young rambunctious kids saving the world here with a body armor known as Jushin Liger. It's a cartoon series. Believe it or not, I didn't even know. I knew about the show, but I didn't look it up till today. That it was directed by Norio Kashima. I know some of these names here as far as the production and written from other animes that I've seen. But here's the part that killed me. I didn't know this. Original run, March 11th, 1989 to January 27th, 1990. That is only 10 months and 43 episodes. Essentially, one season of this show. This was a 10-month project. And this wrestler took this name, took this, even the song you just heard right now, which everyone associates with Jushin as his wrestling theme, it's the actual theme for the show. I just played it like a little while ago before I went on the air here just to get a feel for the show, and the opening credit line was to that song. So he took the name, he took the song, and he fucking ran with it. This show ran for 10 months, and he had a 33-year wrestling career, and he never changed the theme. With a few notable exceptions, a few companies where he had to change his theme, like, for instance, his one NXT appearance, where they gave him his, they made a theme for him, for the program, which some people are not a fan of. I happen to be a fan of it. I didn't think it was that horrible, to be honest with you. I thought it was pretty cool. But they changed that around, obviously, for copyright issues or whatever the case may be. And, wait, is this it here? Hold on. Do I have it? We've got commercials. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and just skip you because I have no... Oh, there we go, yes! very Japanesey. They did, and they was like a little stock photo. Yes, and they even called it Now, I have a story attached to that. I shared a little bit of that on my social media. If you're not following me on social media, shame on you. But all the information is beneath the audio and the... Well, let me see. I'm going to say that. In the details of the Podbean area and on my Facebook when I share it out on all my social media platforms, now that I think about it. You'll have all my social media stuff down there. But on my Instagram, I shared a picture today. I'm actually wearing it right now as I record a patented... one of the original Jushin Thunder Liger t-shirts. I got the merch on me right now. And true story about Jushin Thunder Liger. There was some shit that I shared on social media. I shared some shit on social media. There you go. That's only the tip of the iceberg. It's all that I really wanted to type because I don't like people reading a bunch of shit. But I have more to the story and I wanted to share some of it. Before we get more in depth on Jushin, I'm going to start off with a personal story. So, I grew up watching both. I watched WWF and I watched WCW, obviously. Monday Night War was huge, going back and forth. But even before the Monday Night War, I was a wrestling fan before we got to the Monday Night War. And I remember distinctly being almost in shock and awe at the very sight of seeing Jushin Thunder Liger for the first time. Obviously, very famously, I believe he's the first WCW Nitro match, him and Brian Pillman. But I didn't get to see that one live. I missed that one live. But he would be in and out of WCW for a while. As a matter of fact, if you can afford me a second, let me pull this back. That's the TV show. I can get rid of that now. Here it is. I have it in front of me, and WCW is right here. So he spanned a career all over the goddamn place. But they have him listed here from WCW. Here we go. 91-92, and then 95-2. He made his final appearance in 1999. Now, he wasn't consistent throughout those years, but I distinctly remember great matches between him and Mysterio, him and Dragon, him and Malenko. Obviously, him and Pillman is classic due to the fact that it was on that first episode. I saw him a lot. Psychosis, he wrestled. I think that was the one with the... it was Hoovy. I think he was wrestling one of those two, and there was like a... He hit him over the head with a tequila bottle. I remember that. That was pretty cool. I remember that. But there was a lot of matches. Benoit, he wrestled. Stevie Richards, he wrestled. That's the replacement, right? He wrestled Stevie Richards that one time. He had classic battles in WCW. Again, light heavyweight stuff. So this is the stuff that he was in his form, in his element, baby. This is the stuff that he was getting into. And I remember watching these matches and being enamored with him. And I was a big fan. I think I was more a big fan of the fact that I didn't understand how he was able to concentrate with a mask and a full body suit. That just seemed very irritating. Like, how do you wrestle full matches and a full body suit and a fucking mask and the hair to boot? Jesus Christ. So I was always enamored with him and I respected him. I did. I was a fan. And little by little, he would go off and disappear a little bit. He wasn't coming back as much as he used to. So to be honest with you, I'd fallen off. I did. I mean, I'm going to just be honest with you. I fell off watching him. When he became kind of a predominantly Japanese wrestler again, you know, every time he dabbled outside of New Japan or Japanese wrestling altogether, I kind of caught him. So there was a few shots he did in Ring of Honor that I caught him in. There was a few shots that he did with, let's pull it up here. Began his career with All-Star Wrestling, 86, 87, 89, and 2014. Canada, Stampede Wrestling, 87, 89. Obviously, New Japan, pretty much his whole career. Making the debut, what is it listed here, 87, and then all the way to tonight. obviously, many variations of Liger. We've had Kishin Liger. He entered the heavyweight division a few times in New Japan, but, you know, he was predominantly a junior heavyweight. Everyone's aware of that. World Wrestling Federation, we'll get to that in a second. I already announced WCW, Ring of Honor. TNA. Yeah, I mean, he was there. I remember his match with Joe. I definitely remember that. And I know that he had a few instances where he was involved with a few TNA matches. He did CMLL, great matches down in Mexico, which is huge for the Japanese guys. They love traveling and getting stuff done and other promotions. He did a few indie shots here and there. He'd make a few indie shots, which is where I come in. I had an extremely rare opportunity in my lifetime. I'm going to tell this story here. I had a chance to book him. The only thing that was stopping it from happening was money and time and the two never meeting. When he had the time, but I didn't have the money. And then when I had the money, but he didn't have the time, it was... Our baskets never crossed here, and I had the perfect opponent for him. I'm not gonna name him here. I actually just spoke to him last night about this because I knew I was gonna talk about it on the show, and he was stunned by it. Yesterday was the first time I even told him that I had access to him, and I just couldn't get it done on time, and that's gonna be an eternal regret for me because I would have loved to have had the opportunity to sit here and go on this fucking podcast and tell the world. Oh, yeah, I booked Jushin Thunder Liger. But I can't say that. I did not get the chance to. I had the opportunity. Phone numbers were in my hand. Emails were in my hand. The possibilities were there. Just could not get the job done. And now tonight that window closes. I will not be able to do that now in the future. For two reasons. A, I'm never booking again, and B, I think he's done after this. I think he's for real. I think he's going to walk away. That's one small little personal story. I had another one built up for you. That's why I was rattling off all those different places where he had been. Because the story, after I had fallen off, I got a chance to see his Ring of Honor stuff, but I didn't get a chance to go to that. I finally had a chance to see him perform live for the first time. The one NXT show that he did. He did one NXT show, TakeOver Brooklyn, the first one, which coincidentally is the only TakeOver in Brooklyn that I've been to. It was the first one. And as great as it was to see Jushin Liger, the moment of the night actually went to Bayley and Sasha. That's still to this day one of the greatest wrestling matches I've ever seen. Dick or vagina, not being excluded here. It doesn't really matter. Female or male or whatever you identify as, that was the best goddamn professional. Not the best, excuse me. One of the best, for sure. If I had to make a top 10 on matches that I've seen live, not all time that I like, but I mean live, that is somewhere in the middle of a top 10 list. And it just so happens I got to see Jushin Thunder Liger for the first time that night. And boy, I tell you, the respect he got in that building, I'll never forget it, man. That was one of a crazy experience. I grew up watching this guy, and I'm sitting next to my wife at the time. Well, she's still my wife, but I'm just saying, at that moment, it was weird, you know? Childhood thing, sitting next to your wife, that's weird. But it was a great experience. It was wonderful to finally see him for the first time. Now I know that it will be the only time I get to see him. So I'm glad I got the one. I didn't get a chance to book him, but I'm glad I got a chance to see him. I also didn't get a chance to work with him, which is unfortunate. I got a chance to work with a lot of the guys that he's worked with in the past. I ran that list down a second ago. I've gotten a chance to meet Dean Malenko. On a professional level, I've worked with Rey Mysterio. I've called his matches. I've worked with Psychosis. I've called his matches and ring introduction for him. Hoovy, I've worked with. I've worked with almost all the WCW Cruiserweight guys except him and Super Porky. I want to work with Super Porky. Is he still around? Is he just retired? Because I would love to get him on the show. If anybody has a Super Porky hookup, I kind of want to make that happen. Actually, there's a few of those WCW Cruiserweight guys I would love to have on this fucking show. If anybody out there has that hookup, I'd love to have that because that would be interesting. I'd love to sit down with one of those fucking guys and talk about those glory days. Those are some of the best professional wrestling matches I've ever seen in my fucking life. Ever. My dream guest is Dean Malenko. I would love to have him on this fucking show and do some shit. That'd be crazy. I wish I would have had a show that day that I met him, because I'm pretty sure I would have got a chance, because at the time that I met him, we were sitting around doing a whole bunch of fucking nothing. That's a long fucking story for a whole nother day. So anyway, tonight is the end of that road for Jushin Thunder Liger. He has done so much for the industry, so much for people like me, and so much for people who aspire to be in the business. You know, he was a big fucking deal for a long fucking time, and I'm super proud that he's going to go on his own terms. Guys like that, man, sometimes the decision is made for him. I'm glad he's going to get it. He made the decision for all this. He spoke with the promoters and the bookers. From what I understand, if not handpicked, heavy hand in who he was performing with on this last run. And the, I don't know if it was the director or the owners of that TV show I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast here. Normally when a masked wrestler retires, he usually retires the mask. The career is over, the mask goes away. And the creators have stated that that mask belongs to him. He is allowed to keep that mask for as long as he wants. And that's high honor. That is high honor. Not many performers get that opportunity to retire with their mask. And Jushin Thunder Liger is more than deserving of that opportunity. So I'm super happy for him. I know that tonight is going to be a bundle of nerves. It's going to be nauseating. But once it's over, from what I understand from people who go through this, it's going to be sad relief. You know, the run is over. And if you go back to his catalog, you're not going to find too many shit matches. I mean, a 33-year run, and even in his old age, he was still doing it up big and having some pretty good matches out there. So you get a chance to check that out. Please do. And if you're tuning in tonight, man, relish this moment, man. Breathe it in. I have a very sad, emotional love for these final matches when you're watching your heroes go in there. That last at-bat, that last go-around. I always have that Rocky clip in my head with Paulie, you know? When Paulie has that quote, let me see if I can find it. Rocky Balboa, so it's the sixth round. Let me see, last round of your life, right? There's that moment in the fight where Balboa is fighting, and all of a sudden, you know, Paulie gets up, he goes, "Rocco, this is the last round of your life. The last round. There's nothing after this." So, you know, you gotta go in there and give your all. And I hope that he does. I hope, you know, in the course of giving your all, I hope he doesn't literally give his all and something unfortunate happens, but you want to go out there and basically just go crazy and just get it all out. You know, get it all out of your system and then go home and figure out what's next. Which, from what I understand from people, is the hard part. What's next? What comes after this? What happens when the mask is... He gets to keep it, but he's not going to be wearing it. He hangs up the mask, hangs up the boots. Now what happens? You know, so good luck to him. Good luck to everybody tonight. You know, we had some new champions crowd last night. Again, not going to spoil it. And those titles will be on the line as early as tonight. No rest for the weary. So good luck tonight, guys, over there in New Japan for everybody who's going to be up tonight watching that live. Good luck to you, because I will be fucking asleep. I will get a chance to see these matches sometime during the week, I'm sure. And I'll be ready to go for next week. So that is our main event of this program here. Jushin Thunder Liger. Spend as much time on that man as I possibly can. One more round for the legend of Jushin Thunder Liger. Hey, you. Yeah, you. The one listening to this show. What shirt are you wearing? It doesn't matter. It's trash. It's a terrible shirt. You should tear it off right now and be ashamed of yourself. You need to go buy my shirt. AJ Orsini's shirt, the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind t-shirt. How can you get this shirt? I'm glad you asked, you big dummy. All you need to do is go to ProWrestlingTees.com/AJOUM and buy the shirt. It's gray with a good logo on it. It's a beautiful thing. You need to buy it for yourself and your family and your friends. Stocking stuffers under the tree. I don't care what you do. You can wash your car with it. You can use it as a bookmark. It's a dumb bookmark, but you can use it as a bookmark. I don't care what you do with it. If you're Spanish, you can tear it to pieces and clean your house with it like you always do with those other rags. Maybe you could update your stuff. I don't care what you do it for. Buy the shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/AJOUM.
So I went to the movies quite a few fucking times, actually, over the course of the last few fucking days. And I saw a bunch of fucking movies. Now, here's the thing when it comes to me and watching movies. I am a fan of movies when I enjoy them. And if I don't enjoy them, I'm not a fan of the film. But the common denominator in all of this is that I either enjoy them or I don't. I don't judge a film based on how other people feel about the damn film. So, that's my other disclaimer for this episode. So, moving on. Rise of Skywalker. I finally got a chance to sit down to see this new, brand new, or I should say brand new, but also brand new ending to Star Wars yet again. This is the third final film. Final Star Wars 3, which would be like another Final Destination, you know. Not Final Destination, the film. What was it? Final Fantasy, yeah. It's been like 37 Final Fantasies. There can't be 37 finals of something. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, we're on our third This is the Last Star Wars Ever of all time. And we'll see how long that one stands before we're back in the saddle again. But here we are. The trident of Rey and Poe and Finn. Here we are. Such simple names, you would think is just so ding-dang relatable, but here we are. I didn't have a problem with the film. And as far as people listening to this and saying, oh, please, AJ, don't spoil anything. Well, unfortunately, I don't give a fuck at this point because it's been out for forever. So if you haven't seen it yet, skip at least 5 minutes here. But yeah, I didn't really have a problem with the film. I thought it was a pretty fun film, actually. My only problem with the whole fucking thing is it felt way too fucking long. Way too long. It felt like fucking forever to get to where we were headed because you knew it's coming down the Ren, it's coming down the Rey. Can we just get this shit over with? And let's just fucking get there. You've had two movies of build-up. I don't need more build-up in the third film. Let's get to this shit. It took forever to get to where the fuck it was going. It was just on and on. Side quests and side missions and this and that. And there were all these different homages to the past. And they even introduced a whole new character. It was nice to hear Kerry Russell, I guess. But there was so many different things that came into play here. They teased, you know, wiping CP3O's memory only to, and which gave you an emotional moment, but then they just gave it back to him in like an hour. And there's just so many different facets to this script where I was just like, okay, all right, I'll take it for what it is. Which is what I did with all the scripts for the new Star Wars. I just take it for what it is. This is a story they're telling. All right, I guess I'm co-signing this shit. It's whatever at this point, right? So I'm watching it with my wife. And I look down on my phone, and only an hour has gone by, and I'm like, fuck. And we're going, and now we're at hour and a half. We're creeping up to 2 hours, and it feels like 17. I was like, I was going fucking crazy. This is nuts. I was like, oh. And then the final battle happens. And I'm like, all right, roll credits. And then we're back to just Rey just walking around doing shit. And I was like, all right, we do that with the saber. Cool. What's your name? Because the whole thing, Rise of Skywalker, right? So I'm like, all right, what are we getting at here? All right, Rey's Palpatine's daughter, or granddaughter, we should say. Ben is... you know, the son of the grandson of a Skywalker. So those two have, you know, some tangled history here. One is a Jedi who was born of a Sith. One is a Sith who was born of a Jedi. And we go back and forth, Regan Monroe, and all of a sudden now we're at this quick little kiss, and this person's gone, and that person's gone, and, you know, we've got people, we've got Ghost Force people, we've got regular memory people, we've got the ending where all of a sudden is, what's your name? Rey Skywalker. Wait, that's the Rise of the Skywalker? She's not a Skywalker! How could you call the Rise of the Skywalker? She's not a Skywalker. She took the name. Kind of like, what was that? What did I saw the other? Han Solo, right? Didn't Han Solo do that? He just took a name and all of a sudden that shit was his? Is that what we're going with? She just, it's the Rise of the Skywalker because she just named herself a Skywalker? That's it? Rey Skywalker. And now she's the last Jedi, for real. There are no other Jedis. So that's just it. And then she was trained by Leia, who, memory serves correct on me, didn't do a whole lot of training unless there was something we missed. Because I know they talked about Luke training. Actually, they did show a little bit, right? Luke did train her a little bit, now that I think about it. There was some sort of exercise thing, some video they were playing. All right, yeah. So scratch that from the list. I just figured that one out for myself. But anywho, Rey being the last Jedi, she named herself a Skywalker. Everyone's fucking dead. And now we've closed the fucking door on Skywalkers forever, or so they fucking say. Don't you just know we'll be doing something Star Wars soon again, and Rey will be the surprise? Older, wiser, veteran Rey going out there and doing her damn thing as only Rey can do, baby. You know what I'm saying? So I'm neither here nor there on the whole Star Wars film. I enjoyed it for what it was, but I got a lot of shit on social media for saying that it felt long. How was it long? A two-hour film is long for you? No, a two-hour film is not long for me. When it doesn't feel long, when it's good to the point where I'm lost in it and I want more. Endgame was 3 hours long, and I felt like I could have sat there for three more hours. If Endgame would have legit been a seven-hour film, I would have watched it. No fucking problem. But this film felt long. Felt long. As opposed to the next movie I saw, which was Jumanji. I saw Jumanji The Next Level. Now, my wife does not like Jumanji. Did not like the first one. I did like the first one. And the first one being the first of the new ones. So, what was that? Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle was what it was called. And this one was Jumanji The Next Level. I dug this one. This one did not feel like it took fucking forever. I laughed my ass off for, I don't know, anywhere from half to three quarters of the fucking film. Good stuff. Love the fact that they changed it up character-wise and they kept jumping back and forth. Added some new powers to the list and all kinds of shit going on. The running gag with the cake. All that shit is fucking awesome. I fucking loved it. I laughed my fucking ass off. I'm not a hard person to make laugh, to be honest with you. I laugh at the stupidest shit ever. I laugh at the stupidest shit. So I never really had much of an issue with that. But Kevin is hilarious. Did I die and come back as a small, muscular Boy Scout? Like, there was all kinds of... The Danny DeVito impression by The Rock. Ugh. My wife kept saying, why does he sound like an old Jewish lady? I don't know. I guess that's how he hears Danny DeVito. Kevin was hilarious. His Danny Glover was hilarious. What in the Sam Hill? He was doing all kinds of funny shit. Love it. Carrying Gillian, can I just say right now? Hot. She is growing on me. I guess as Nebula, I don't really get the chance to be like hot, you know, because she's always covered in shit. But that first movie, I was like, she's pretty cute. I didn't realize. I really didn't pick up on it. I was like, oh, she's pretty cute. And then this film, I was just like, hot. Karen is hot. And I don't normally go for women named Karen for obvious reasons, but hot. Gotta give her that one. Sexy, sexy lady. And of course, we did two movies where it was just for the adults, so we had to do a kid one. And we did Spies in Disguise. That was the cartoon with Will Smith and Tom Holland together. Deadshot and Spider-Man in a film doing their thing. That was also actually pretty funny. I went for him. So you normally when I go to movies like that, when I'm going, like, to see Angry Birds 2, or what was the last one they went to? Fucking They went to Playmobil before that. I didn't go to Playmobil. Which one did you go to? We go to. We did Adam's Family. Was it Adam's Family? Yeah, Adam's Family together. All these cartoon movies. Whenever we go to these movies, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I pull my phone out every now and then and start dabbling around the old soch, see what's going on. But for this one, Spies in Disguise, I was really into it. It was actually pretty funny. There was a lot of good moments in there. I was like, all right, this is not a bad way to kill 2 hours. Or what was it, an hour and a half or something like that? It's somewhere between an hour and a half and two full hours. This was really funny. I was surprised, which led me to wonder, oh, God, what are we in for Bad Boys? Are we really going to be, you know, Bad Boys 3 is coming out. Which, funny story about that, when Bad Boys 2 came out, I took my wife out. That was one of my first dates with my wife. Like, before we were married, before we were engaged, when we were just boyfriend, girlfriend, one of my first dates with my wife was Bad Boys 2 in the movie theater. That's how long ago that movie came out. And now 3's coming out. And we've been married for what can only be assumed is an eternity. And we have a kid. So I got busy, I guess, during the course of that time. And so did Martin Lawrence, because he looks like a black Majin Buu in this movie. I don't understand the puffy. He's got this puff, you know, almost like he's a Hutt. No, blah, 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 blah. He's got like this thing hanging down from him. It was very distracting. Will still looks like the man, you know. Yeah, he colors his beard and hair now. I understand that, but at least physically, he just kind of looks the part. Martin looked like he was in Big Mama form. Like he was just combining all his films together. Just to, like he was doing a Bad Boy movie, so he was shooting guns, but he still had the Baby Mama, the Big Mama outfit on. There might be some Blue Streak references. I don't know. He might be also in his old age coaching a young ragtag team of basketball students. Whatever the case may be, you know, maybe he's wearing knight armor in this film at some point. I don't know. Run through the Rolodex of Martin Lawrence. You figure it out for your fucking self. But they got a movie coming out. I haven't seen that one yet. I'm trying to think. There was another movie that I forgot. Oh, okay. No, not movie. We saw The Witcher, right? By the way, if you want to learn more about The Witcher in book form, because there's a book series about it, which I didn't know about, my good folks or good friends over at Comic Conversation just broke down the whole Witcher series on their channel over at 2bscene.com. Comic Conversation with your host, my main man over there, Brandon Lewis, and his main squeeze, Alicia, over there. They broke down The Witcher. My boy Joe Pombo and his company down there doing big things. They broke down The Witcher. You can check that out. I shared that on my page. And again, it's at the number 2, BESCENE.com. YouTube official channel. You can break that down over there, but I'm going to talk about the show here because I don't normally get into these type of shows. I don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't watch these shits. And my wife wanted to give it a shot. She goes, I'm going to try and we'll see. And you know, and she put it on and Lord and behold, fuck, we got into it. Okay, which I'm really glad now because I missed out on a lot of the Game of Thrones memes because I don't watch Game of Thrones, right? So now there's like whole web pages dedicated to just the Witcher memes, you know, toss a coin to your Witcher, and I'm in on it now. I get it. I absolutely get it. I understand it. One of the peak moments of the show, if I can be honest with you, Yennefer of Vandenberg, that character, the mage, okay? She is a fantastic actress, I have to say. Now, you're probably hearing this, and you're going, wait a minute. Are you saying that because she's hot? Which, hold on a second, kind of. Wait, just hear me out. She actually is a fantastic actress. Was it Anya Chlor Chalotora, something like that. She's British and Indian. Yes, okay, granted, hot. But I actually did like her acting here. I liked the way that she told her story. I love the transformation, too. when she went from the hump and the underbite and all that stuff and then transformed into beautiful Yennefer, I guess you can say. And she just went out there. The scenes between her and the boyfriend were really, really good. They hit some real strong chords there. I actually, going to be honest with you, yes, she was hot, and she was nude a bunch of times, and that sweaty scene toward the end when she was doing the whole thing trying to get that power at the end, she was all sweaty and whatnot. Obviously, beautiful fucking girl. But she's got some chops. She really does. Let me see, she's 23. So, I mean, she's got a long career ahead of her. 23 years old, and she carried herself like a boss. I was like, Jesus Christ, this chick can act. I was very, very surprised. But for the most part, like, in the beginning, it was very hard. I'm going to be honest with you, watching The Witcher. Because, again, I don't get into this type of stuff. So, for me, it's very hard to follow. My wife and I both were kind of, and my wife watches shit like this all the time. So if she's lost, I'm fucking lost. There was a lot of bouncing balls going on in the beginning, telling multiple stories at different angles and just trying to, you know, they were going with the whole get all these characters in, develop them, and then they'll all merge at the end, which they did in a very badass way. I'm on the first floor of my apartment building, so what you're hearing is the sound of an ambulance in the background, and I hope whoever is in there absolutely deserves it because they're ruining my program right now. Anywho, it was very hard to follow at first, but as you continue on and you keep the episodes going and you fucking stay on it, everything starts to reveal itself. And by the end, we were totally hooked. We were totally onto it. And I hope there's a second season because I'm going to be honest with you. It was pretty fucking cool to see that show. There was one other fucking thing that we saw. What the fuck was it? I'm just rattling down my fucking week to you guys like you give two shits. But that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. There was one other fucking thing that we had done, and I've lost it. I had it here, and I don't know where it is. Right, so, yeah, those are the things that I've seen recently. Passing up some review there, where my head is for those films. I have something really cool to talk about now. And it's for something coming up, and it's pretty, not gonna lie, it's pretty fucking big for me, okay? So, January 24th, I talked to you guys last week about it as a possibility of things that are in the air, and I told you there was going to be two things. I was going to give you a time and date, and I had something special planned for it, and we're going to get all the details out right now. No more question marks or mystery. Everything is booked and solid. Okay, so we're going to give out some information updates here. So the next upcoming WWE pay-per-view is a biggie. It's one of everyone's favorite, and that being the Royal Rumble match. Or the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, I should say. But the Royal Rumble match is highly anticipated. And I had mentioned to you guys that for the first time ever, I wanted to do a live show for the Royal Rumble. I've done one for my anniversary. I've done one for 100. I've done a WrestleMania roundtable. Now I want to do a Royal Rumble roundtable. So, that is now booked and solid. So, January 24th. Live on Facebook on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page. We will be going live yet again, and we will be doing a roundtable yet again for the Royal Rumble. Now, that part I think you already knew. Here's some new information. January 24th, it is now scheduled in for 7 p.m. to 9. We're doing 2 hours of the show, which is much, I think it's exactly, now that I think about it, the same that we did for the anniversary show, I believe. It was about 2 hours. All of them, now that I think about it, were about 2 hours. I think WrestleMania ran long. I think the WrestleMania one that we did was a little long, but I think that's because, you know, it's WrestleMania. We had like 30 fucking thousand things to talk about. We won't have that problem this time around. We're not going to have that problem. It's the Royal Rumble, so we've got less matches to talk about. Only thing we really got to go heavy on is the matches themselves, and we have two Royal Rumble matches to discuss, which got me thinking. We're going to do something a little different with this roundtable because of its uniqueness. There's no other pay-per-view that they have with two Royal Rumble matches in it or two matches of this caliber, not just in size, but the reward. The winner of these two matches go to WrestleMania and compete for their respective championships. They're huge. There's much to discuss, but there's two matches. One for the guys, one for the girls. So I thought to myself, it would be pretty interesting if we had proper representation for this show. So, for the first time ever, actually, no, not for the first time ever. This will be the second time, now that I think about it. Because I've done this only once before, and it was a long time ago. And the reason why I don't do it more often is because I don't really have the option to do that. It's just weird to explain, but I don't have the option to do this a whole lot, but I'm plotting. I'm planning this one out. So now I've got a chance. So we're going to be doing, well, not all because I'm going to be in it, but for the most part, it's going to be an all women's panel for this round table. I did one once before for the Evolution pay-per-view, which I thought would be unique. It's an all women's pay-per-view, do all women's round table. It was great. And it worked out really well. It was fun to do. But I haven't done one since, and I thought, why not find a time to do it again? And I think this is a great time because the last time I did the round table with all women, it was in my home and we were all discussing, and it was fun. But this time, I think having this dichotomy plus the live aspect plus phone calls and chat boards. The last time I was on live, the last few times actually, you guys were very heavy in the chat, and I've got phone calls. So we're going to do phone calls again for this show. The number you can call to call in for the show is going to be 609-910-0687. That is the phone number you can call to directly get me at 7 to 9 p.m. as we go live on the official Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page. Now, all women against me. And of course, Stephen James is going to be running the board as per usual. I'm in his studio, so he's going to be in the house. But predominantly women. I'm getting three gals for this show. And we're going to break down the Royal Rumble. And we're going to talk all kinds of shit, man. It's going to be fantastic. I have just the women in mind for this. They're great. They're chatty. They got great personalities. They've been watching wrestling a long fucking time. We may debate. We may go back and forth on some things. You never know. It's going to get hostile in there. I promise you. Or it could be full of rainbows and hugs. I don't know how the fuck this is going to go. But however it's going to go, it's going to happen live. For everyone to hear and to see this train wreck fucking take place. So, I already have some women in mind. Again, I don't like announcing things until they fucking happen. But I absolutely will tell you guys as we lead up to it, who's going to be on the panel and why they were chosen for the panel and what their roles are going to be. It's going to be crazy. Now, that's the show. There's something else special we're going to do for this show. Another first time, because I'm thinking outside the box here, okay? I've noticed a few times in different pro wrestling groups and different pages that they like to have these Royal Rumble, I don't want to say raffles, but these little Royal Rumble games that they do because it's very fitting for the Royal Rumble. And you know, you got 30 spots on each side, and what ends up happening is that somebody, you know, they either send you a comment or a like or something, and they get entered into a pool. When you get entered into the pool, the names and the numbers get drawn randomly. You take a name from a hat, you take a number from a hat, that person gets that number. And if the winner of the Royal Rumble came from that number or entered at that number, then you would get a prize. This is a very prototypical game that people play on the internet, right? So as an example, it's 30 spots. So we put 30 numbers in a hat, put 30 names in a hat. Pull out a name, pull out a number, okay? And that's the corresponding number. So we watch the Rumble. When the Royal Rumble winner wins, we see what number he came out at. That number is the one who gains the prize. Now, I'm mentioning all this because I've never done one. And the reason why I've never done one is because I just don't feel like sitting around and trying to convince people to play games with me. It's just, it always came off weird. I've entered a few and came damn close a few times. But I thought to myself, what would be the shame in it? Because I always tell myself, I don't want to do what other people are doing. It's just weird. But if I do one and the other guy does, you know, I'll put it like this. If three wrestling groups do this, which there's obviously going to be more, but let's just say for the sake of argument, three groups do it. And I got a buddy who entered all three. You know, he's got three chances to win a free prize. If I do one too, that gives him four chances to win a prize. So I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, if I do one, then that gives my fans and the people who listen to my show an opportunity to win essentially some free shit. So I thought, why the fuck not? So this is what we're going to do. Starting Monday, we'll start it on Monday the 6th, okay? The 6th, I'll open up a post in the group. Okay, I'm going to do a video, and I'll link it. It'll be one of the top announcements, one of the top posts in the group, so it's easy for you to find. It'll be right up top, and all you will need to do is comment on the status to let me know you want in to the game. It'll be Orsini's Uncensored Mind Royal Rumble Randomness. That's what we're going to call it. It's going to be random drawings. We're going to put the names in the hat and the numbers in the hat, and we're going to do it random. No one's going to get a chance to select their number, because then we're going to have beef over who picks what number and what, blah, 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 blah. It's all going to be randomized, okay? Now, once you comment on the post, you will be entered into the pool, okay? I'm not doing the drawings for the numbers or the names until we get to the live show. I will pull those names and numbers before the show. We will, with the group that's going to be at the round table, so everyone knows it's on the up and up, I will pull out the names and the numbers, and I'll get them all written down, right? And then on the live show, I will list the names and the numbers so everyone knows, and I'll post it after, but I'm going to say them on the live show, who has what number and who drew what number. We're going on the live the 24th, the Royal Rumble's on the 26th, okay? Now, on the 24th, like I said, I'll draw the names, I'll draw the numbers, I'll have it all written out so I can name them on the show, okay? So everybody will know exactly where they stand, where they land on all of this, all right? Now, you're probably asking yourself at this point, Jesus Christ, oh, you're going through all this explanation, what's the goddamn prize? Well, I have two prizes in mind. And I don't mean two prizes as in one person is going to get two prizes. I mean one person is going to get one prize and one person is going to get another prize. Now, there's usually a big deal made at Royal Rumbles when it comes down to like the final four, the last two, whatever the case may be. So I have a first and second prize idea. Okay, my second prize, or the, actually, no, fuck that, I got a better idea, I have a better idea, I'm gonna give out more prizes. I just thought about this for a second. So, like I just said, the big deal is usually the Fatal 4-Way, right, when it gets down to the Final 4, they make a big deal out of the Final 4. Whatever number you drew, if your number lands into the Final 4, okay, all four of you will receive Orsini's Uncensored Mind t-shirts. All of you. All four. But I have one main prize in mind for the main winner. The guy or gal who wins it all. I have a special surprise for that person. And that prize will be inside the mystery box. I'm not making this shit up. I have a mystery box. It's got question marks and everything on it. You're going to see it on the video on Monday. I'm going to have the box in my hand. Okay, guys? There will be an actual prize box with a surprise prize in it. That was a mouthful, but it's all real deal shit. Okay, guys? So that's the game. Orsini's Uncensored Mind, but short, OUMs. Royal Rumble Randomness. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to name the names on the live show, and then at the end of the Royal Rumble, when we have our two winners, I'll make a post about that as well, congratulating our winners, and I will coordinate with them after the fact as to how we're going to deliberate the prize, how I'm going to get the prize to them, so to speak. So I will be dropping hints between Monday and the pay-per-view itself as to what that prize is. And so maybe you can get it, maybe you won't, I don't know. But I'll be dropping hints off along the way. So that's what we got going on here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I told you at the beginning of 2020 we were going to think outside the damn box. And that's what we're doing here. We're going to think outside the damn box. So that's it for episode 122. I want to thank you guys for supporting me for as long as you have. I promise you guys, 2020 is going to be an absolutely ridiculous year for Orsini's Uncensored Mind and for myself personally. As a matter of fact, I just wanted to slip in a little tease because I didn't record the episode last night. Because I was at a wrestling show last night, and I don't want to spill the beans on all that just yet, but I wasn't there as a fan, and I didn't work it, but there was a little bit of business discussed, a little bit of business, so keep your eyes open and your mind on that for just a second, okay? I'm not going to give anything away. I told you, this is a big year for me, baby. Big year, a lot of things going on, okay? So thank you guys for liking, thank you guys for sharing, thank you guys for downloading, and of course thank you guys for enjoying episode 122.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.